Tell us that if we had sinned our day of grace away, we wouldn't even have a desire for the Lord. Right?
Right.
Wouldn't even want Him. So as long as you've got a desire in your heart for a closer walk with God, then that means you can have it. Amen? And so we thank the Lord for that. Musicians can go to their seat. I appreciate the Lord giving my daughter the desire to serve Him. And I've mentioned this before. I just thank the Lord for His blessings upon it. And so tonight I'm just going to continue on with my thought of what we had shared with you on Sunday about Enoch. And so we're going to do that now. So we'll just go to the Hebrews chapter 11 verse. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5. How many love the Lord?
Amen.
I love His Word.
Amen.
Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will not pass away. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess, right? That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In other words, God chose to come down and live in that man, Christ Jesus. And every knee, every person that's ever been on this earth, their knee is going to bow down and say, that's right, Jesus Christ is Lord, right? He's Lord. And all that back to the glory of the very plan of the Father who wanted it to be that way in the first place. And so I'm glad to believe and know that now. And like I said, we live in a tremendous time. America, I read the article today that was written by, I think, the president of the Moody Bible Institute. And he said, you know, Americans for 250 years, you pretty much just lived here and you lived your Christian life. We had no persecution, nothing like that. He said, it's fixing to change. That's right. And we know it is. And so we just want to just believe everything that the Lord has for us. So here's the scripture tonight. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. In other words, they looked for him, and they couldn't find him. Right?
Right.
They looked for him, and they couldn't find him. Because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And so we wanted to pray just for a moment. Heavenly Father, as we enter into the most important part of this service tonight, Lord, we ask God that you would loose us in the spirit realm, Lord, to be able to comprehend and to receive everything that you have for us. Lord, I believe rapture cycle is in its final moments. And so, God, I believe that right here at this last moment, when the enemy has come in like a flood, you promised you would raise up a standard. Lord, it would be the standard of this message that you would cause us to be regrouped around the truths, Lord, that you've given us in this hour. And we believe that's what's happening as the enemy has struck out against this bright message. Lord, we see you come right in behind that, and you begin to stir the hearts of your people with the truths that you've laid here for us, that you're once again quickening and bringing to us. We ask God tonight that you just perform these things. Lord, just use us in however you see fit tonight. Get glory to yourself. Lord, bless the hearts of your people with further revelation, Lord, because they need revelation power in their lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. You know, you know, the types and shadows will never fail. Types and shadows that God has created and God has established will never fail. It's not possible for them to fail. And I know that pretty much, I mean, there's a few people outside of the message that kind of teach a little bit about types and shadows, but as far as I can tell, the bride is the only one that truly understands the connection between types and shadows and how firm it is that when God establishes it, they cannot fail. And I'm saying this because as we were talking Sunday, we realized that Enoch is a type of the bride. Not just the bride throughout the seven ages, but the bride in this last age who takes a body change. And so, as I said Sunday, God knew that he wanted to rapture you and I. He knew he wanted to do it, and he knew exactly how he was going to do it. And he knew that he was going to do it under a third pool, and he knew that that third pool was going to be a hidden thing, and it would not be a public showing. And yet in that hidden thing, he knew that he was going to do all that, and he wanted to show it by type. Because he establishes type and shadows, and once he establishes them, nothing can take them away. It shall be according to the way he established it. And so he wanted to make he wanted to show a type, one of many, in the scriptures of the bride in this last day going into rapture. And so he picked one man. God knew that it would be the seventh church age saints that would go in rapture. He knew that. He established it that way. And so he came all the way back and he said, now I'm going to establish this by type that seventh church age is going to go into rapture, and I'm going to come back here and I'm going to take the seventh man from Adam and I'm going to make him go into rapture. And when God did that with Enoch, he established it and shall ever, forever be that way, that the seventh church age saints will go in a rapture because God done said so and done declared it in the life of Enoch. Right? And so the types of shadows will prevail. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what people think. Whatever it is, they can get all off in whatever their theology tells them and get it all scribbled. Even up in the message, they might get all scribbled up. It don't make a bit of difference. Because God is going to rapture people just like he said he would. And he typed it by Enoch. And that's why the scripture says very little about Enoch. And just like the scripture says very little about the third pool. Or very little about the seventh seal. It's silent. Quiet. Keep it hushed. Because God don't want Satan to get a hold of it. Because if he did, he'd do great damage, said the prophet. Right? So he does it that way. And he hides it. And so we already know just automatically that it has something to do with a true relationship with Jesus Christ because Satan don't have that. That Satan can imitate everything else outside of the genuine life of Jesus Christ. So maybe getting ahead of myself, but if people want to say, well, tongues, that's Christ. Well, Satan comes along and imitates it, so it ain't Christ. Right?
Right.
Well, shouting, it's Christ. They come along and shout just too much, so it ain't Christ. Right? You see what I'm saying? Now, shouting might be something that Christ causes you to do. Tongues might be something that he might have you do of one of the spiritual gifts. He might do, but that's not Christ.
Right.
That's just that's a benefit from him or a gift from him. So like I said, my wife, you know, I have a truck and a car and a house. We have those things, but that's not me.
Right.
She's married to me. Right. She's not even really married to this right here, this flesh of mine. She's really married to the one inside me, but she has the benefits of my flesh and of my house and all the things like that. But the real part, if she's just in love with my flesh, it won't work. Right. If she's in love with just the money, which I don't have that much, but I'm just saying, if that's what it was, it wouldn't work. But if she's really in love with the real me, regardless of whether all those other things are there or not, if she loves me, she'll stay with me and we'll be together.
Amen.
And that's the way it is. We love Jesus Christ, the real him. No mistaking for something else, but the real him, if that's who we're in love with, we're going home with him. But if we're in love with something else that we're calling him, we're not going home with him. Right? And so I kind of jumped ahead there, but these types of shadows will be that way and declared that way because God said so. And what I want to show you here, I'm just briefly mentioned this Sunday, but faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Any time that our heart connects to Scripture, to word, it creates faith in our heart. Now what if we're here in this last age and God connects us to these Scriptures about Enoch, that we actually see ourselves in Enoch, what's it going to do to our faith? Just like anything else, it's going to cause our faith in our position and what God has called us to be. We're going to look at it and say, you know what? Yesterday, I didn't feel like I could take a rapture. But today, I see myself in Enoch, and I see the types of shadows, and I see it playing out in me. And today, I have faith to take a rapture. Amen. Because why? The Word has caused us to have that faith and that desire.
Amen.
And so that's what happens. We thank the Lord for that. And so, faith comes by hearing by the Word. And so when we can see ourselves and see these things, then it causes us to have faith. You know, I said this the other day, the bride of Christ is the only one that knows that we're actually in rapture time. Everybody else said, well, and this is, you have to read, you know, we know the message is reading between the lines of the love letter. But when Brother Branham preached the rapture message, he did the part about Psalms 27. But then he goes right over into Peter where it says, That scoffers would come. And what were those scoffers saying? Well, ever since our fathers went to sleep, we've been hearing this, and it's not changed a bit. Those people making that statement do not know the hour they live in.
Right.
They have no clue about, they're just saying, well, it's always been this way. It's no different now. They don't have a revelation. Right? But the bride of Christ, the rapture, is a revelation.
Right.
And it's just like I think I was talking to my aunt earlier about it, Aunt Mary. But everything, you know, we hear the word of God and we have faith in it. And then God comes along and drops revelation and actually reveals truths about this thing that we already believe. And he really builds that and gives us revelation power. But the end product of this is that we flesh out what it is we believe. Right? We flesh out what it is we believe. If we believe in divine healing, we have healing manifested in our flesh, right? If we believe in a body change, if God gives us faith in that, then gives us a revelation while the rest of the world don't know what time it is. If we know what time it is, he gives us that revelation, eventually we flesh out that revelation.
That's right.
Right? So we go into rapture because he said so. And he's dropped that into our heart. And so Brother Rev said, and he said, but to the bride, the rapture is a revelation. But he says, scoffers, scoffers. Brother, sister, do we have scoffers? Has there been an increase in scoffers? In the activity of scoffers? Sure, absolutely. So that's one of the signs of the time.
Amen.
Right? These are signs. So when Brother Branham, I said this several weeks ago, I think, that when he's going to preach rapture. We're all right. He's going to tell us exactly what to do to have a body change. And most of what he said was telling us about the signs to watch for. Right? So what I realize is that it's those signs. As we see those signs lining up and coming in place. Scoffers, you know, and saying this and saying that. Scoffers telling you. Here's the example Brother Branham gave. Okay? He said, well, now they claim that Moses didn't even cross over. He went over a sea of reeds. And they're telling us now that Jesus really didn't die. He faked his death. So what is Brother Ram saying? They're coming along and telling you that the very stories and the very truth that your faith is built on, right, they never happened in the first place.
That's right.
That's what they're trying to do. That's scoffers.
That's right.
So if we can just get in sync with the revelation of what God is giving us, if we can just get in sync with that and realize that prophet is telling us this is what's going to happen just before body change. Scoffers, they're going to be saying this, saying that, doing these things and all that. And that is a sign to you that your body change is at hand. Right?
Amen.
That's what he's telling us.
Amen.
And so all these things is the word of God that we faith come on hearing by the word, and it increases our faith, and that's what the message was sent here to do. And so we see here in the scriptures that it said that Enoch walked with God. You can't walk with God if you don't know Him.
That's right.
And if your concept of God is just speaking in tongues, I say that because I come from Pentecostal circles, so I have a right. I say that just quite often, but I have a right to say it because I come from it. Okay? I was raised up in it. I thank God for it. There's a truth in it, but there's a whole lot of nonsense that man put in there. And so what they do, they denominated, made tongues evidence. And that's where they got away from God, and that's when they put God out. When they did that. So they, if you want to ask them, do you know the Lord? They'll speak in tongues for you. But that ain't the Lord.
Come on.
That's just something that He can cause you to do because it's one of the nine spiritual gifts. But the devils can also cause that. See what I'm saying? You know, it took a prophet to have enough guts to stand up in this age and tell the Pentecostal people thus and thus on that matter. It took that. Because that's the case. And so, if they think that tongues is Christ, they don't know Him.
That's right.
And they can get led astray on that because Satan gets in the middle of it and has perverted things like that. And so, the Pentecostals aren't walking with God. Now, the scripture said Enoch walked with God, and there's going to be a bride in this day, and she's going to walk with God. Right? But she's not going to walk. She's not going to walk with gifts of God and think it's God.
Right.
She's going to be walking with the real person of Jesus Christ. And how does she know that real person? Because somebody introduced Him to her. Right? Somebody has come and introduced Christ the Word, the living Word, once again, has introduced Him to her. And there's a union and marriage going taking place.
Right.
But the Pentecostals rejected that. Right?
Right.
The Baptists, the Methodists, all of them rejected. Not one of them could follow that word and stay with it. They're all defecting from it.
Right.
And so they don't know Him. Therefore, they cannot go in rapture because they're not walking with God.
Right.
You see? They're not walking with Him, so they cannot have a body change because they're not even fulfilling what Enoch was a type of.
Amen.
But if you look around and you find the people who is, you find out there is a group of people that does know that it's in this watch, this seventh watch. Now, if you know, if you go in there, Brother Branham said, now the night was not divided into hours; it was divided into watches, and there was four watches, right? 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6. And he comes, and then he says, he says some things about numbers and sevens and back and nines and back to seven, and all that. And you're like, I don't know what he's talking about there. But if you'll look at it when he says seventh watch, well, there's not seven watches in the night, and we know rapture morning, so it's not. But he says seventh watch, and what he's tying that to is seventh church age, because the dispensation of the gospel in the New Testament had seven ages, seven watchmen over their watch, watching over during that dark hour when there was candles. Because the church was a candle, right? So these watchmen were watching over the first church age, second church age. And so what Brother Branham is saying, it's that last seventh age, if that's when it happens. It's in that watch. Everybody follow that?
Amen.
It's that watch where the rapture comes, not somewhere else. And so we're the people that know that. We are the people that realize underneath the vindicated word of God that we truly are in that hour of rapture. That automatically gives us faith. Because everybody else is wondering. How can you prepare for something that you don't even know you're not sure whether it's going to happen or not? See? And there's a lot of people like that. My Aunt Mary was talking about that a while ago. People that don't really know whether they believe in a rapture or not. Well, you can't prepare for it if you don't know it.
Right?
So Enoch walked with God, and the bride will walk with God. And she's not going to be making the mistake of thinking that all these other things are God. Right. You realize she's the only one who's truly walking with Him.
Amen.
And He is the Word. He is that something that cannot be imitated. That's the real Him. Satan imitates everything else, right? Mm-hmm. Satan imitates first pull, second pull, but he can't imitate third pull.
Right.
He imitates what's in your flesh, he imitates what's in your spirit, but he cannot imitate what's in the soul. You see what I'm saying? He cannot. So it's that most inward thing. It's that thing that happens in privacy. Remember, it was going to be a little tent, a little room off the side, and the people went in there to come out, and they were totally healed. And they said, I don't know what happened or whatever. Can't tell about it. You can't tell somebody how to get it. They have to get it themselves. See, that falls into the foolish virgin wise worldly. Go get it yourself. Can't give you what we got. You got to get it yourself. And so that's how that works. But she walks with God because she knows Him. I can't walk with someone I don't know. And I can't walk with someone for very long if I don't agree with them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, if Brother Russell and I was going to get up and walk down to the store, down to S&S here, and we could say we walk in agreement or whatever, and we get out here and we go down the street, and I go left and he goes right, uh-oh, our walk has declared that we don't agree.
Right.
But if we walk together the whole trip, time, step after step, time testing the fact that we're walking together, and we stay together, the time shows and proves that we're in agreement. So when Enoch walked with God, it was a day in, a day out walking, and a day in, a day out manifestation to the world that showed that Enoch was walking with God, and he agreed with God because he continued to walk with Him. And God was pleased and walked with him, and said the scripture was pleased with him, right? And so, but the manifestation in that hour was God coming down to a man who was going to take a body change, and the manifestation that was in that man's life just before body change was that he walked with God and even left a testimony before his translation. Before his translation, he had a testimony that he pleased God. So in other words, God got involved with him in such a way that people could tell that that testimony went out. So God reciprocated with Enoch. It wasn't just Enoch, you know, but God was involved in showing himself to the place that actually Enoch had a testimony that was going on saying that he pleased God. That it showed that. And this is what was transpiring leading up to his rapture. Now I keep saying this, that if I wanted to go from here to the back of the room back there, I've said it different ways, but this is a different example. But if I wanted to go from here to the back room back there, the way that I get from here to there is to walk. I start walking. And it's my very walk that actually gets me there. So Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him. So you find out, as Brother Rem said, he walked with God, and after a while he realized he was closer to God's home than he was earth. But what got him there? It was his walk. It was his daily walk. And Brother Ram said, and I read the quote Sunday, Brother Ram said that he was a perfect reflector of God. He was a perfect reflector. He reflected God. And so something Enoch was living out was a good example. It was a perfect example. And so we kind of can get on that here just a little bit or whatever. And so it's very clear to us that Enoch knew God. And God is not a respecter of persons, so I believe that if there was somebody else in that hour that was walking with God just as much as Enoch with, God would have had to rapture them too. Right? So I think that I can declare that there was nobody else in that hour that was walking with God. In other words, there was no one else in that hour that knew God like Enoch knew him.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Because you can't walk with him if you don't know him. And as I said Sunday, I'll say again tonight, and if you know him and you start walking with him, you actually become a very manifestation of him to this world.
Right. Amen.
Because when people walk together, they influence one another. Your children can hang out with somebody and you can tell who it is they've been hanging out with. And so they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they took notice because they'd been with Christ.
Right.
Why? Because they were acting like him. So you see what I'm saying? If a person knows God and walks with God, they're going to start acting like him. Mm-hmm. If you really believe that God don't want you smoking, you won't smoke.
That's Right.
If you really believe that God don't want you drinking alcohol, you won't drink alcohol. Yeah. If you sisters really believe that God wants you to dress godly so that a man won't lust after you, you'll dress godly so a man won't lust after you. Mm-hmm. If you really believe that. Mm-hmm. And so when you start doing that, your life begins to take form and it begins to emit in that wicked generation around you. It begins to emit things that's showing that world that you're different and you're walking with God. And if people aren't walking and there's nothing showing forth in that, I doubt their experience. There's got to be something that shows they're walking with God. Amen. So they have to know Him, walk with Him, and when that happens, they begin to become a testimony of God.
That's right.
So that's why Brother Grimm said he was a perfect, perfect reflector. God wanted to shine something to the earth through that, and He did it through Enoch. Okay? In other words, when all that wicked generation was out there living in the world, doing the things they did, God had a stand concerning that. Right?
Right.
You know, we have a wicked government. I have a stand that I take pertaining to that, against it, because it's contrary to what I believe, right? Well, God had a stand, and obviously Him being righteous and holy, His stand would be against wickedness and ungodliness. So God had a stand, and we all know that God is the solution, okay? That wicked generation in the days of Enoch, that generation, what they needed was God.
Right.
They needed that life. They needed that presence of God. That's what they needed. And so God will never bring a generation to judgment until first He warns them, until first He offers to them life. And they rejected. And so you see, here's what happened with Enoch. Enoch became that perfect reflector because God's going to take him a rapture and judgment's going to fall, but he can't make judgment fall until he reaches out to the people with the manifestation of God that shows there's the solution to this generation. Come to it and you can be saved. And then they spurn it. So God came down and Enoch walked with him, and Enoch became the manifestation of God. In other words, what God had to say about that wicked generation, Enoch was that representation of what God's stand was. And obviously that stand was righteousness and holiness contrary to the wickedness. So the world would have to look, and we know the world seen it. There was enough seen it that they said he had a testimony that he pleased God. So people knew it. People saw that manifestation and knew that God was in that man and living with that man and walking with that man, and that man was a representation of God. And they knew that that was a reproach to the way they were living, and they spurned it. And so God got to the place where he was reaching out to that generation through Enoch, reaching out, until finally they spurned their to have grace away. And God said, okay, it's time for me to pull my presence from this earth, because as long as my presence is here, judgment can't fall. Curse cannot come on something that's blessed. If you've got the Holy Spirit, you cannot be cursed. You see what I'm saying? And so God cannot curse the earth as long as his presence is here like that, you see? And he couldn't do it. So he said, it's time for me to pull my presence from the earth. But since Enoch is my reflector, since Enoch is me, I have to take him. Because you see, Enoch had walked with God in such a place that he became unity with God. And God cannot take himself away from the earth without taking those that he's one with. So he had to take Enoch from the earth. And God knew what he was doing. He was going to do the same thing in this hour. That there would be a people who would embrace him and walk with him to such a degree that when he says, okay, this generation has spurned my mercy and my grace, it's time for me to take my presence so judgment can fall, that when he goes to take that presence, that bride has to go with him.
Amen.
That God says, I have to take her with me because she's one with me. And that's what was being a type and a shadow there. Enoch was that expression of God. Just before judgment.
Correct.
They didn't know. Those people didn't know what was fixing to happen. They didn't realize that. I guess all they could realize is they probably rejected that. They didn't think nothing about it, probably. But the manifestation of God was in the land. Yeah. And they rejected it. And it cost them. Right?
Amen.
And so we know Enoch was the type of the seven church age going in a rapture. He was a reflection of God, or an image of God, or whatever. And when that was spurned, then judgment fell. God will judge after he mourns. And so, we know what Brother Graham talked about Noah. He said, when Noah saw Enoch leave, then he realized, hey, I got to get to work on the ark. And people come along in the message today, they go, ah, look at that. That prophet don't know what he's talking about. Because Noah wasn't even born when Enoch left. That Noah was born years later after Enoch was raptured. I know that. What difference does that make? Because you realize Noah was a man that God spoke to. Noah was a man that God dealt with. Noah was a man that God could come up on him and begin to deal with him. And God's beginning to speak to him and tell him, I'm fixing to destroy the earth. And I need you to build an ark. And in that process of God speaking to him, God would take Noah and he would, just like he does you and I, would take us back in history of the scriptures and back into things that God has done. And we could say, we could see God did this and God did this and God did this. And God did this, and that's brought it right up to my day. This is why it's the way it is, because this happened, and that happened, and that happened. And I can see through the plan what's fixing to happen. So that even history and God's unfolding what he does through history agrees with the way he's dealing with you, and he's speaking to you, and what he's telling you to do, and the prophecy he's causing you to speak and come forth from you, you can see that it agrees with scriptures. You can see that it agrees with the patterns that God has done thus far. Right? And so God began to deal with Noah, and Noah goes back and he looks at the names of all these people in the genealogy of Christ, of God. He looks at the names and he sees what those names mean. And when he sees that unfold, and when he sees Enoch and what his name means, and that God took him in the ark, Noah obviously gets a revelation. Hey, Enoch was a representation of God on the earth. He lived and walked with God. He knew that same testimony the rest of the world did, that Enoch walked with God and God was pleased with him. And he looks at that and he says, oh my, God took his presence from the earth. He took it up in Enoch. Judgment's coming. Because God, his reflection, that perfect reflector of Christ, of God, was taken. And so Enoch, he catches the revelation and he knows where he belongs. And Brother Graham, I read the quote Sunday, and Brother Graham said that. He said, you know, when Noah saw that Enoch left, and he knew it was time to get started on the ark. He got in the ark, and we know the ark is Christ. And he goes on to say, he said, and when this Gentile bride is taken up, this modern day Enoch, when she's taken up in the rapture, the Jews, they're going to catch that. And they're going to enter into their ark, Christ, and go through the tribulation. That's why he typed and showed it was that Enoch was the bride going in rapture, and Noah was the Jews going through the tribulation period. So when those people, those Jewish people, under the ministry of those two prophets arise on after you and I leave here, that ministry is going to turn them around and show them that Gentile bride and show what happened. And they're going to come to that same revelation. They're going to realize that what she was, and she was that image of God, that the Spirit and the bride say come, that she had become the voice of God on this earth, that she became the last voice for the last generation underneath her messenger. They're going to see that and see that went. They're going to enter into their ark, and the tribulation period is kicking off. And you see, that's what he's getting at. And scoffers want to come along and say, see, Brother Aaron didn't know this, didn't know that. It's a revelation. It's a revelation to the bride, see? And there's to you and I, we see what God is doing. We understand why it's the way it is. And so, that's the things that happened. So you see that Enoch was that manifestation just before judgment, and you find out the bride of Christ in this day is the final expression of God to this generation just before judgment falls. And as soon as we go, the gospel goes to the Jews. Tribulation period sets in, and there's a foolish virgin that has to go same way with their testimony. It's perfect. So, how many knows that Brother Branham said that when God gets ready to rapture, all he really is going to do is rapture himself?
Right.
Because he's in her. She is him. How many's heard that quote?
Amen.
She is him. How can he go without taking her? I was chuckling because I said this Sunday that my wife, when I get ready to go home, she, without any fret, without any worry whatsoever, she'd walk right out there and get in my car. And I wasn't thinking that we were driving two different vehicles. But I'll say it tonight. Because we're in the same vehicle. But it's her car. She'd be driving it. But let me drive home so I can say this. Yeah. But because I read you the quote where Brother Branham said, Enoch didn't have to strain one bit.
That's right.
God provided him that highway. He said he needed a ladder.
That's right.
But God provided him a highway.
Hallelujah.
You can walk a highway a lot easier and go up on it than you can on a ladder. Right. A lot safer. God will always provide. There is a quote, and I heard it, I've seen it, read it, whatever, years and years ago, and I've tried to find it many times since then, and I haven't been able to find it because you know how I can hide from you if it's worded just not just exactly right. But Brother Branham said, he said, the rapture, when that time comes, it'll be easy because she believes in it. But God provided, he said, Enoch didn't even have to. He didn't have to at all strain. He used the word strain. He didn't strain. Just walk. Just walk with God. No strain. Not going to tire you out. You're not huffing and puffing. Saints, you see what kind of revelation God wants to give us about the rapture? He wants to, because we can all say, you know what? I'm not exactly comfortable. I mean, I know it's rapture time. I know these things are happening. I'm not comfortable with the things I see. I don't really know. But listen, God said, be at ease.
Amen.
Be at ease. Amen. This is going to happen easy. It says a vindicated voice, a divine interpreter of the word, and the scripture is showing it. That Enoch walked with God, and if we'll just walk with him, God's going to take us. And so my wife, she won't have to strain one bit. She won't have to set in question. Well, I wonder, whatever. She'll just walk right out there and step inside my car and go home with me. And I'll take her. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
This is what God wants you to believe and understand. You
Amen.
Don't have to worry about it.
Amen.
God's going to take care of this. You just need to walk with him. You just need to be a reflector of him. And if he has a certain stand about this age and about marriage and divorce, about serpent seed, about all the way the world lives, if he has a certain, then he's going to express that through you. And the only way he can express that through you, because that's the real him, right? That's the real person he is. And the only way you can express that is to know him. And then when you know him, you'll express what he is about that. So if he has a divine order for marriage and divorce, guess what you're going to express? Right? It just has to be that way.
Right. Amen.
And so whatever it is, if God says no, tongues is not the evidence, you're going to express that.
Right.
So you name it. Every doctrinal truth that we've got, everything the world's gone off in, God is standing here with a message to say the truth always corrects the error.
Right.
And the truth is sitting here reflected in a people. And the world's looking at it. And the world is making a choice what they do with that.
Right.
And they make fun of it and scoff it, and they're taking their sides. But when God gets ready, when he gets ready and he's done and he said, okay, this scoffing generation has done enough and I'm tired, I'm fed up with it, and I realize I'm speaking in the terms of a man because God is different than us, but God has a place in his line drawn in the sand where he says, okay, it's done.
Right.
There will never be another Gentile come in.
That's right.
He has a place where that happens. And when that time happens, and I believe it's a fading in and a fade, you know what I'm saying? You can fade things out and fade something in ever so slowly that you almost don't know what's happening. But, and I believe that's exactly what will happen. We can see that the day of grace is fading out for Gentiles. And we see that God's dealing more and more with the Jews. And you see what's happening with them. They're beginning to take a stand for the things of God. That's their promised land more. Why? Because it's doing that. But we know when God gets ready to do that, he'll begin to change the anointing that's on you and I.
That's right.
He'll begin to change the anointing that's on you and I. I read that quote Sunday where Brother Manning said that God actually asked Enoch, he said, Enoch, are you homesick? Are you ready to come home? Right? Can you sense the Holy Spirit asking you that?
Amen.
How could you be homesick for somewhere you've never been?
That's right.
But we know we have been. Right? The life that's in us is the life of God, and it wants to be home with God. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
So we feel that beginning to move. Things are different now than it used to be. And the Holy Spirit, when He starts getting tired of the world, He'll begin to change the anointing on you and I, because He changed it on Enoch, because He took Enoch in the rapture and He gives the desire to the people and then fulfills it. He gives them faith, revelation, and they flesh it out. You see what I'm saying? So God has to change the revelation, or give us the revelation, not change it, give us the revelation, change the move of God to where now He's going to turn us heavenward. You see what I'm saying? He dealt with Enoch that way. He said, Enoch, are you homesick? And he actually said this, Enoch, have you walked in that pest house long enough? Now, if you know the message, you know what Brother Brown's talking about. He says, this is a pest house. And a pest house was a hospital or a building where they put all the people that were sick and contagious, and they'd send them all in there to keep it locked up so that the disease didn't spread somewhere else. So it's a pest house. And Brother Ram said, now this is a pest house.
Amen.
And he talked about how he said, the one brother there, I can't think of it, Brother Dow, was in his 90s. A little Brother Dow here, in his 90s. He said, now I had 30 more years or something like that to him, what would he be? He'd just be almost nothing, almost. Just a, you know, because you know what a 90-year-old person looks like. And Brother Bam says, aren't you glad there's something can get us out of this? Because it's decaying. And it's, that's what Paul was saying. Who can save me from the body of this death? Because in the old times, whenever you killed someone, they'd strap that dead body on you, and that dead body decaying would eventually kill you. And we got something strapped on our back right now that's killing us, you know, so to speak. And so Paul said, who'll save me from this thing, this flesh, a sinful man that I'm trying to get away from? And he says, but thanks be to God that through Jesus Christ, see, we have that victory. And so He'll take us away. And so that's what is happening there. This is a pest house. And so he asked Enoch, have you walked down there long enough? Have you walked in that pest house long enough? Now, if you listen to what's going there, I read between the lines, and I see between the lines, and it's probably because of the ministry the Lord has given to me to see things. But when I hear that, what I hear Him saying to Enoch, do you realize you're in a pest house? Enoch says, yep. Yeah. Now, Enoch, if you really believe that your flesh is a pest house, you're going to want to get out of it, aren't you? Can you see what the Lord's doing to us now? You see how He's dealing with us, changing, making it to where we don't even want to be here anymore. Well, you know why? Because we have to get to the place where we say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Amen.
We have to come to that place where that's the Spirit in us crying out, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And so we have to realize, you know what? This is a pest house.
Right.
I don't want to be here anymore.
Amen.
I'm not comfortable with this guy. I don't like him. He's my trouble.
Right.
So a prophet, a divine interpreter, a love letter from God, he said, Enoch, hey, have you walked in that pest house long enough? What is he saying? God is saying to his bride, are you convinced that you're in a pest house? And if you are, if that's a pest house, are you tired of walking in that pest house? Are you tired of what it dishes out to you day after day? And I can say we're tired of it.
Amen.
Well, this is the cry that has come into the heart of the people. Now we're beginning to cry that out to God. That's the anointing that's on us. So when God got ready to take His presence with Enoch, He just dealt with it that way, and He took Enoch, gave him a way out, and judgment fell. That's what's happening now to the bride. He's giving her, He's moving that anointing upon her so that He can fulfill it. And He's asking her, have you been here long enough? Have you walked in this pest house long enough? And you know what? Enoch said, yes, Lord. Yep. I'm done. I want to come home. And God said, okay, come on up. And he started walking. And God took him. Nobody knows how Enoch went. Nobody knows where he went. They look for him. You read between the lines. Well, it doesn't say that Enoch was a famous man, but he had the testimony that he pleased God, and so much that they looked for him when he come up missing.
Right.
See what I'm saying? They looked for him. And it said, and he was not, for God took him. So they don't know where. And I'm saying all that to say this. They don't, that the rapture's under a hidden thing. It's not a public showing. It's a secret place in the secret of his pavilion, hiding us in that secret place in a time of trouble, in a time of Jacob's trouble, tribulation. While that's going on, he'll hide us in the secret of his tabernacle, in the secret of his presence. See, that's what he's going to do. And so that's how that all unfolds. As God hides us in that secret place while all this is going on. And so he's taking the light, the presence of his presence from the earth, takes the bride from the earth, and all this stuff unfolds. And so that's what's happening. Because Enoch walked with God. God did these things, and we walk with God. And he's doing the same thing for you and I. You believe that? But you have to walk with him. Enoch built the Great Pyramid. And there's a couple of videos that I've watched, and they, you know, science has really picked up on this pyramid. They look at this thing, and it is absolutely crazy how much significant stuff is there. They know. Of course, if you listen to Egyptian antiquities, or their, you know, the Egyptian, you know, what they want you to think about the Egyptian history, they're going to tell you that some pharaoh. But if you look at all the evidence and everything, there's more than enough evidence to show that pharaoh did not do it. And the scientists, not those people who wanted to be the story to pack Egyptian stuff on the back, but the scientists and the studies they do, it's very clear to them that was built before the flood. And there is a scripture in Isaiah that speaks about that pyramid. It doesn't call it a pyramid, but it speaks about it being a testimony there. And I'll show it to you sometime. Hopefully, Lord willing, if I don't forget, pretty soon. But anyway, the point I'm getting at is that the scientists have been looking at this, and they've realized all this stuff. And it's just phenomenal, the things that are represented in there. And scientists are saying the wisdom that was in the building of that thing. They said, because we have found all the numbers, like pi, 3.14159, pi. And there are a few numbers in nature that's everywhere. But those numbers weren't discovered until later, long time later. And they come back and they have found that those numbers are everywhere in all that design. It's just all right there. They did a measurement of the earth, the altitude of all the mountains and valleys, and they get the average of the entire earth. Just average it all out, and it's exactly the height of the pyramid. It's facing north and south. I think they said it's so perfectly faced north and south that it's within, I think they said, 1/500th of a degree. They said that only lately have they developed instruments that can do that. They talk about the king's chamber. The walls are so straight up and down. I forget what it was. It was that they even architects today say, we can't even do that now. We can't even make something that straight up and down and true and plumb. And so they're looking at all this, and all of it, it's a testimony, just like it says in Isaiah. It's a testimony. And what is it? It's a testimony that even after judgment fell, that testimony was still ringing out. And what I hear it saying is that God was pleased with Enoch, and that God walked with Enoch. Enoch walked with God. And Enoch displayed his whole life, his whole work, as he built this pyramid. He built this thing, and everything about it showed the wisdom and the stature of God, that only God could be involved. And they believe, people who don't know the Bible like us, they think that Enoch was visited by angels. That the angels came down and gave to him, and some people think extraterrestrial beings came to visit him, that's what gave him the wisdom on how to do these things. Well, they're not too far from the truth, because Brother Branham did tell us these UFOs are investigating judgment angels. They find in Egyptian and other places in the world ancient, where it was nothing but pictures being drawn on the wall, and they find pictures of flying saucers. And it's always wrapped around some momentous event in history that was happening, because these angels come down. And I don't want to get on that to explain it, but because it might, you know, it might be hard to wrap your head around, but it's true. And so they believe that was angels that came there, but we realize from Scripture that he walked with God, and God gave to him that wisdom how to build that thing. We thought it was Brother Branham that come along and said that Enoch, you know, built that. And I thought, well, okay, he got a revelation. Okay, it was Enoch. I didn't doubt it. But Lonnie Jenkins, I heard him say that when him and Jeff, his son, went over there and they took a tour of it. And they said the tour guide told them this was built by Enoch. And Lonnie's like, really? Because he thought what we did. We thought Brother Branham come up with that. No, they know it. Egyptian history, they don't want you to believe that, because they want to speak of their pharaohs and all that, and they want to make you think that one pharaoh built it. But the science and the stuff behind it that's got something besides just somebody's idea shows that there was an intelligence behind the people that built that we don't have yet today. The size of those stones, 70 tons, I think, some of them. Oh, it's way up in there. And so I'm just saying this, that is proof, that's a testimony that God and Enoch had a unique relationship. And Enoch had a full revelation of God. Enoch had a full revelation of the plan of God. He had a full revelation of all these things and how it unfolds, to such a degree that he even saw the coming of the Lord with 10,000s of his saints bringing judgment. He actually saw all the way to the end, and the scriptures in Jude said he prophesied. He prophesied foretelling that. So what I want to show you is that Enoch had a complete revelation. And he walked with God. And his life's work represented and showed that, you know what? Only God could do that. Now I'm going to go ahead and say this is just my thinking, but I know that the Egyptians, they have a guy called Thor, I believe it is. And they believe that is Enoch. And it's one of the gods, one of the Egyptian gods. And I want to show you something here. If fallen people look at a person that's so endued with power, so endued with wisdom that he can build these things and do all that, and they be awestruck at what they see, because that great pyramid outdoes all the other pyramids. It still stands where so many of them are crumbled. So what I'm showing you here is that if that generation, a fallen generation, and they see that, and they see that testimony, and after Enoch is gone, they're still awestruck. And they come along and they want to try and build their pyramids like that one. But they don't have the technology like that one. And so theirs won't last the test of time like that one. So you see, fallen man, they come along and they create all these gods, this and that, and they got one they call Thor that they say is Enoch. They made a god out of him. Why? Because he walked with God. He had such a presence of God around him that it shook him. Right. And even through all history, they come on and they're trying to build. And these scientists are saying, look, this one had what it take. And these are mimics. These are just, though they try to tell you that it's the genuine thing, it's not the genuine thing. It came after their bogus dollars, because that was the real dollar. I'm using message terminology. That's what they're saying, see?
Right.
And so it was Enoch. He had it. And fallen man, they come along. And so they say, oh, well, we had a god. And it's really Enoch they're talking about. But it's a fallen man and what they do with it. When they could have stood back and said, you know what? That was a man that God walked with, and he walked with God, and that's why he could do that. And we're nothing because we rejected that message. They won't say that. But they try to imitate it. They try to be something. They try to be religious, and their religious pyramids just crumble. They won't stand the test of time. So Enoch, his life's work was building this pyramid that stands as a testimony after judgment. That testimony still rings, and it's still called a ripple effect throughout all humanity to this day. He was a type of the bride.
Man.
And the bride has been given a commission underneath this prophet. You go and build your stature of a perfect man. You go build your pyramid. You go build your pyramid out of things the rest of the world don't have nothing. They can't touch it. They don't know how to build this, but you know how to because you are walking with God. And God has told you, you can add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. You do this. You build your experience because your experience is Christ on display to this world. And when you get through building Christ on display, the full measure of the stature of Christ, when that's made known and they spurn that, he'll take that from this earth and judgment will come. But you see, just as important for Enoch to make that pyramid back then. It was that important. It's just as important now. Walk with God. Put that, add to your faith that virtue. Add to virtue, all those things, virtue, temperance, you know, patience, godliness, all of them. Add all those virtues to your experience. And you know, if you go and read in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, I believe it is. You go read that, and it actually says this. If you'll add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. And he said, if you'll let these things be in you and abound, you'll never fall. Right? And what it says? You'll never fall, and so an entrance will be ministered to you into that kingdom, right? That's not a perfect quote, but you remember reading it.
Amen.
What's he saying? When you add to these things and you get to that full stature, he's gonna minister to you an entrance right into that dimension. He will take you right in there when you build that. What? When you build that pyramid. Now Enoch built that pyramid perfectly. But God didn't have him put a capstone in it because Christ, the chief cornerstone, the capstone was rejected. But in this day, this bride builds her pyramid. And with her, the capstone does come. Right? The capstone does come to her and comes down and caps the whole thing off. So you see what God's doing? Once again, we didn't realize that when Brother Branham was standing there telling us, oh, the stature of perfect man and it's a pyramid, it's not really a cube and all that. When he's telling us all that, we never made the connection that Enoch built a pyramid, and that's what we're doing. And that Enoch was the last manifestation of God before judgment, and we're that last manifestation. We got to build our pyramid. We got to put these things into our experience. Add to our faith, virtue. Virtue. They don't have a clue how to put virtue in their experience. Godly knowledge. They don't have a clue how to put it in there. But you realize that when you and I make this manifestation of a full measure at our pyramid for this day, when we do that, and judgment falls, after judgment hits, for years after, long after, that testimony of our experience in Christ, our pyramid will still be standing for ages and ages throughout eternity to come. Just like Enoch's. And if there is a generation after that, they'll be awestruck by it. If there could be. We know that things are going to change when we're raptured. But in the millennium or whatever, we don't understand all the details about that. But if there is a people, they'll be awestruck of what that bride really was. It'll ripple out throughout eternity. Just like it did with Enoch. See? So we thank God because he's showing us these things today. It helps us to know who we are. Because they're not hearing this. It's not preached in the Baptist churches and the Methodist churches and the Catholic churches. None of this stuff they don't have it. Nor do they have a prophet's voice that is showing them how to add to their faith and, you know, virtue and knowledge and all those things. They don't have it. But what I want to encourage us is to come back and take a new look at it and say, you know what? Oh Lord. I've heard this about statue of a perfect man all these years. And I've heard that I'm supposed to add to my faith, virtue, and knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness. and love, charity. I've heard that, but I didn't realize how serious it was. I didn't realize, Lord, that you are waiting on us to make that full manifestation so all those virtues are in us. You're waiting on us, and as soon as that happens, you will minister to us a body change, entrance into that other dimension, and then judgment will follow this earth. See? People want to say, oh, Brother Branham this, Brother Branham that. They don't have a clue. That voice is exactly telling us exactly what we need to hear. And that's why God keeps revealing this stuff and showing us these things, because we are that people. But that means that we have a great responsibility.
Amen.
And I'll say it, I'll be the first to tell you, I need to step up in my responsibility. But I can tell you one thing, God has really placed it on my heart, that each of you catch this, that each of you get this revelation, that each of you truly understand who you are. That's what's really got me more than anything right now. I said the other day that sheep will beget sheep. You'll go out and you'll speak to someone, and people will come to church, come become believers. And me as pastor of the church, they automatically become responsible for those sheep that come in at your testimony, because you beget sheep, beget sheep, and as soon as new sheep are born, it's the shepherd's responsibility. So you go out and live it. Go out and, but for me, my concern is to make sure that the sheep that are in this fold get fed that word, that they get told the truth, that they understand how to flesh this thing out, how to realize that they are God's choice and they do have the ability to do what He said. And they'll flesh this thing out and become that manifestation. They'll each have their pyramid, each one of them. That's what's important to me. I'm not saying I won't testify to people myself. That's not what I'm saying. Let the church grow if it wants to grow. If it stays the same size it is, let it stay the same size it is. God will add to the church such as should be saved. But for me, I want to make sure that each of you catch that revelation of what God's doing in this hour. Because that's what He's put in my heart. That's the concern I have. And that you learn how to disconnect from this world and not let those things of the world slow you down in this revelation. That you'll learn from God. I can't give it to you. I just preach the word. But you realize the minister preaches the word and it agrees. He deals with you, not even if you don't know it, in what the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. And when you realize, you know, I haven't added to my faith the virtue of God or the knowledge of God or the temperance. I don't have the temperance. When you know that, and then the preacher's preaching it, and it comes along and it confirms that to you, you know the Lord deals with you in your heart and from the ministry of the Word, and that's God's molding hand trying to mold and make that vessel into what He wants it to be. And so, I have to do that. It's my part. I have to do that to do my best to minister the Word of God into you. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But it's my responsibility to minister into your life the Word of God as He's giving it to me, knowing that it is speaking and dealing with you exactly the way the Holy Spirit is trying to mold and make you, to bring you forth, that we all become brought forth to become what God wants us to be. And so we want our God to do what He said He would do in us, and we want to be diligent to let Him do what He said He would do. And so I'm just glad that God has got our attention in this hour. But we're not a people that's got a great big this and a great big that. We don't have a bunch of prestigious ideas. Not trying to be fancy, not trying to be big names. We're just endeavoring to walk with God and be the testimony that He wants us to be around those that are around us. God knows how to make the church grow. He knows how to take me and make me cross paths with somebody else. He knows how to do that. Same way with you. But let's walk with God. Let's let that be. Let's seek first the kingdom of heaven. And then God will add this other stuff to us, right? But let's seek God in such a way where we know that we can say there's nothing in my life that's more important to me than God.
Amen.
And I'm going to say it this way. And I have to. That there's nothing in my life, even for 2 minutes, that just for that 2 minutes is more important to me than God. And I'm saying, in other words, I'm saying you can have 23 hours and 58 minutes a day that God's number one and have 2 minutes that you got something else that's more important to you than God, that won't work. So we have to come to that place where we realize, you know what? I really want out of this best house. I really want God. I really have that desire to be express Him and then go home with Him. And so we want to do that. We want to make sure that we give God that kind of preeminence. The brother Adam said, when the bride recognizes who that she is, then the rapture will go. And I'd say we're getting pretty close to that.
Amen.
We're getting to the place, you know, he says she'll know what to do with the word. Well, why not? Because she is one with the word.
Amen.
So she gets to the place where she knows what to do with the word because she's one with the word. And so she'll speak when the word speaks, and she'll be silent when the word's silent. And when God says it's time to leave, she'll leave. Because she's going to represent what God is saying and what God is doing. Right? And so that's kind of the way it is. When I go get in the car, start the engine up, my wife says, gotta go. Time to go. Right? And it's also true that if she's a little bit slow, I'm not going to leave without her. So don't worry. He's not going to leave without you. But he might start honking horn at you. Right? You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
It's a wonderful love letter. But I tell you what, it's really where the rubber meets the road. It really is. But it's a glorious message. Amen. So we thank the Lord for it. We will bow our heads in prayer, and then we'll sing just a little bit of a song. Just before we go, if Anna wants to come to the piano, she can go ahead and do that. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for your blessings upon us to be able to look into your word once again. Lord, to bring out these truths that we believe are molding us and making us here at this last moment. It is true, Lord. It shakes us even to hear these things and realize that we being your choice, Lord, it's just becoming more and more of a reality, and it shakes us even to our very core, which it should. And Lord, we just want to thank you for that. For the many times and days, weeks, and years that we've lagged behind and haven't been diligent, Lord, that you haven't cast us to the side, Lord, because election doesn't work that way. And you've made us to realize that. That once we are your choice, there's no way to get out of it. And Lord, we don't want to get out of it. We're slowly but surely coming to the place where our revelation matches yours. And Lord, we know that's the way it has to be for us to be with you in eternity and sit on your throne in judgment with you. We have to be in agreement with you. And we see, God, that you are slowly but surely making our revelation, making it to line up to be exactly what yours is. We thank you for that, Lord, and we ask, God, that you would just hasten us to that perfection, that we would be that perfect manifestation. We don't want glory to ourselves. We want it to you, Lord. But we're happy to be associated with you and want to represent you properly each day. So we ask, God, that you'd help us. We pray, Lord, that you'd send this word out to those that have missed tonight and those that need to hear it. We pray, God, that you'd bless them, that they could have even greater understanding of this hour that they live in and who they are, and that Enoch is once again on this earth. We thank you, Lord, for these things. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
We'll sing that last song we sung, More of You, because when I get into God's Word and see things like this, it makes me want more of Him.
Amen.
But rest assured, when you walk out those doors, the world is going to be there to try and slow you down.
Amen.
But we have to make our choice.
All right,
walk with Him. More of You.
Lord.